Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Welcome. This is Star. And after the half hour, if you have some questions, you can call us at 646-716-9663. We can confirm for you. We can give you extra information, maybe point you in a certain direction along your own personal map. Today, I want to talk to you about the other side. What happens to you when you die? What happens to other people when you die? And most of us are used to the familiar to the term medium. Hello?
Hey, Star, I want to let you know we have Lisa. Lisa, are you on?
I am. Hi.
Hi, Lisa. And I just said most of us are familiar with the term medium. Welcome, Lisa. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you for having me on your show.
You're welcome. Lisa, tell me about yourself. Tell me about your connection with spirit.
Well, you know, my connection with spirit to me, and I have to talk on a personal level, is very sacred. I have this I can't imagine what my life would be like if I couldn't do the work that I did, if I wasn't able to connect to spirit in the way that I do, and also to help people heal in the way that they heal. And I've been working as a medium now for probably longer than I care to remember, actually, but for over 20 years. And it's been very much part of my life that I have fully surrendered into that space and allowed my world to be taken over by spirit.
And I imagine that quite a few people feel that that's scary, and since I channel and I do have communications with spirit, similar to you do, I know that I need to, you know, surrender and let spirit come to me. Were you ever scared? Were you ever scared when you first started? Or were you ever like, oh, no, jumping with joy, I can do this, you know?
Well, it's actually interesting because there's actually probably more times now that I have fully surrendered, that I have my moments of panic. Oh, my gosh, go away, I'm sleeping, and who are you? You're in my bathroom, and I don't know who you are. There are moments like that, but majority of times, I don't think I've ever really been scared. I remember back, oh, my gosh, I must be about 18, 19, and I remember my grandmother, because she was also a medium, and she spoke to me and she said, you know, you will continue with my work. And I remember her having this time, and I said to her, I said, doesn't it scare you that dead people want to come and talk to you? And this is what she said. I'll never forget it. She said, now, darling. She always called everyone darling. Now, darling, if they never hurt you while they're alive, why would they want to hurt you when they're dead? And I went, oh, okay. And that's what I've lived by. And so I think there's only been occasional few scary moments, but otherwise it's never really bothered me.
It hasn't bothered me. I had had a few double takes, like walking down the street in New York mm-hmm. and having 99.9% live people and then seeing one that wasn't so live. And
yep.
I once got on the subway. So let's see, I've been doing this since 58. I'm 75 years old, so I've been doing this for a while. I once got on the subway in New York City with a little petite friend of mine named Nancy, and she's probably all of 98 pounds, and I'm, you know, like a couple hundred pounds. And there were so many spirits on the subway, and one of them yelled out, "Look, she can see us." And all of a sudden in my knees, there were all of these spirits saying, "Can you find my sister? Can you do this? Can you do that?"
Wow.
And I got so overwhelmed that when I got off the subway, I leaned against a pole, and they were still talking to me, and I slowly slid to the ground. And my poor little girlfriend, she's, you know, tiny and petite, she's trying to catch me. But then I worked with some of my students to help what I called all these spirits that went down in the first place they could go was the subway, and
mm-hmm.
they got caught in that. So many, many times, spirit has surprised me, startled me, awakened me. But like you, Lisa, I feel that it's very important to get the messages across.
That's
both
right.
For the person who's incarnated and for the disincarnate.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you get started doing this besides your grandma?
You know what? It was so interesting because I remember my grandmother telling me this, and I was thinking, no, no. Well, of course, then she died, you know, and she arrived on my bed as large as life, and I'm like, you're dead, you know. My brain just wouldn't comprehend this whole thing that had appeared. And then, you know, it was interesting because that kind of freaked me out. Probably one of the only times it really did freak me out. And then I met a friend of mine called Amanda who said to me, "You're a medium." And I went, "I'm what?" And she said, "No, you're a medium and you can speak to the other side and you're also psychic." And I'm like, "Oh, here we go."
Oh, boy.
And it was so funny. And I remember we'd gone out for a few drinks and she stayed at mine and we're kind of, you know, the two girls kind of sharing the bed, kind of like, you know, ghost stories kind of thing. And I was probably about 21 at this point. And I remember her saying to me, and I'd been having these visions and stuff like that. So I was connecting, but I didn't know how well I was connecting. And then she, because I thought I was psychic, and then she said to me, she said, "No, you're a medium." And I went, she said, "Let's try it." And I just went, "There's a man standing down there, and he died of a heart attack, and I feel as though he's your dad, but he's not your dad." No, it's crazy. And she said, "That would be my adoptive father who died of a heart attack." Well, that was it. I screamed and squealed and went under the covers and, you know, never to be seen again almost. And,
well, yeah.
And that's how I kind of, that was my first ever experience. And then it just developed. It really did. It just slowly developed. I started to do occasional readings. And before I knew it, I was booked up for months in ahead. And I was like, oh, wow, maybe my real job should, you know, give up sometime. And that's what happened.
But that's good. I remember one time being in maybe Boston and a little fussy little old lady. Of course, now I'm old, but she seemed ancient to me at that time. I must have been in my late 20s. And she asked me about her husband. And her husband appeared to me next to her, and he said, "Tell my wife I'm sorry for having an affair with her sister." So I'm sitting there not knowing whether this woman knew that her husband had had an affair
mm-hmm.
with her sister.
Wow.
And I'm kind of having my mouth just doing one of the very sophisticated opening and closing things with
mm-hmm.
no sound coming out. And, you know, and I said, "Your husband begs forgiveness for all his indiscretions over the years." And you know, she asked a couple other questions. But I've been put in situations by spirit where I have to use my discretion. Has
mm-hmm.
that happened to you?
Many times. And I always have a saying where I ask, "Do you want to know everything?" And they go, "Oh, yes." And I do. It's a very serious question. And so I do say to them, you know, if at any point you don't want to know everything, then please let me know. But, you know, sometimes you can't just come out with it. You have to, as I say, choose your words carefully. And when I teach this whole a whole lesson upon choosing your words carefully, because otherwise I believe that you can completely mess somebody up by
I agree.
By just saying the wrong thing, a phrase the wrong way. And I always say this. I say to my students, you know, and I give this classic example. There I was standing on stage, I don't know, East Coast somewhere, and I could see that her father had the ashes, and the ashes were actually in a plant in the kitchen. Well, in England, we call a plant on the windowsill a pot plant. Okay, so I said, I believe that your father's in the pot plant.
Oh,
well, everybody just looked at me like I was completely off my rocker and went, oh, and I had to finally explain. Not little did I know in my, you know, naive way that a pot, that languages are very different, even though we speak the same language, that I should have said potted plant, not pot plant. And so it was really quite interesting. So choosing your words very carefully, and although that's quite lighthearted, you can really upset somebody by just coming out with it. So, yes, you do have to select the words very carefully.
And have you ever had people who come to you and they just want, I've had this just recently, I did a parlor. I had one lady, she just wants to know stuff about, like, her neighbor's mother and stuff that is not even related to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, and I politely told her, I'll only do your lineage and people who've been, you know, married to your lineage. Mm-hmm. Please, you know, I'm not going to be telling you what about your neighbor's mother or whatever.
Exactly.
And it's astonishing to me. And that person had a little kid by her that if she would have asked about, what do I see? What do I would have told you about that little kid. But she was so interested in everybody else, I figured it was a defense mechanism because she wasn't ready to hear whatever that little boy spirit had. So, you know, I go, hi, my name is Star, and you have HIV. You know, I don't kind of do those things.
There's no, it's
process.
True.
There's a process, and I think it's our second year, our seventh year, our 13th year after we get started, this ego comes up, and, you know, you're doing readings for, and please, my students, listen, and Lisa's students, you're doing people's readings for people who didn't even ask it. They need to ask you. And when they ask you, you need to use your discretion. So I imagine you've had a few very funny experiences being a medium. Do you have one or two you can share with our audience?
Oh, my gosh, I've had hundreds. And I do have to reiterate what you just said about asking permission to read that person, because I always say it's an invasion of privacy. If somebody just goes up to you and starts reading you, it really is an invasion. And it goes back to integrity, that you have to have absolute integrity for the work that you do. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. But, oh, I've had, I tell you one story. Well, this actually is very representative of what happened to me in England. We had a massive Indian society, a very big Indian community in England. And arranged marriages are very common. And so I used to have the mothers of the sons that would come with the son's photograph and then a selection of about five women. And she'd put them down in front of me. She said, now, which one, my dear, should he marry? And I'm thinking, I don't know. Because obviously, I had to say at one point, dating someone else. He's dating someone, and, you know, your father tells you to kind of let him find his own way. My father would never say that, but it was so interesting. And then I've also had people that have come through and said, now, can you find my piece of jewelry? It went missing 8 years ago. And I'm thinking, I don't find jewelry. It's really hard. And then I've also had people where they've just wanted to connect to the, you know, they've got their, this was one that really interested me, was they've got their mum, dad, and I think it was their sister or their brother in spirit, but she just wanted her animal. She didn't care about her loved one. She just wanted her dog. And it happens.
That's happened to me, too. You know, it's where's my pet and how's my pet? And, mm-hmm. you know, their husband and grandmother and mother are all standing in line, and they're going, you know, I lost a poodle 22 years ago, and how is it? And I guess that's what's important to that person. And it's important, I guess, sometimes I think, to the people like you're talking about, it's more important that they be right than light.
Mm-hmm.
That, oh, my child should marry one of these five, you know? And I ask people that all the time. Would you rather be right or would you rather be light? And they look at me like, you know, what are you saying?
Yeah.
Interesting. Do you do any spirit releasement work?
I have done a lot of spirit releasement work, and, you know, it's not something I do so much now. I used to do a whole array of things when I was in the UK. But, yes, I love it because there's nothing like letting go and allowing that spirit to completely surrender. So, yeah, I do. And I now teach it. I've started to teach it. And I always say that that's something that's you've got to be very careful in working with, because energies, and it's all about understanding energies as far as I'm concerned. So, yes, I do. I really enjoy it.
And, Lisa, where can we find out more about you? Do you have a website?
Yep, it's quite easy. It's lisawilliams.com.
Well, thank you. And you have a book?
I do have a book. I have two. I have Life Among the Dead, which is really my autobiography. And then I have the book that is very close to my heart, and it's called Survival of the Soul, which is basically about what happens when we die.
Okay, well, can we find those on Amazon or on your
Absolutely.
Website?
Absolutely. Yep, cool. You can find them on Amazon. They're there.
What was the most significant spiritual experience that you've had this lifetime?
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's a big question.
That's
Giant.
A big question. Okay, I'm going to share this story with you. I think I was in a very bad space. I was in a really tough place. And it was a couple of years ago. And I was known in the medium world and everything else. And I went off, and some of my fans may know this, and I went off and did a detox. And I totally was clean, as in I didn't eat, I didn't drink, I didn't do anything. I basically was very clean inside. And it raised my vibrations into this whole new level. So I was only having juice. And I was like that for about 12 days. And then the actual person who ran the retreat said to me, and I've never done drugs, and I have to tell you, I've never done them since. And she said, let's go and do some magic mushrooms. We can do them in a shake. And I'm like, oh, gosh, no. Well, I knew that they were hallucination. And I had these magic mushrooms, which I didn't feel affected me, but I sat there on the bed, on the beach, meditating with my pen and paper, because you can always guarantee wherever Lisa is, there's a pen and paper. And I started to do this, and out of the sky, and I was in, I've got to remember, I was in this real dark space, like, where is my life going? What is happening? How can I move forward? Where am I, you know, where are my opportunities? Am I ever going to love again? I just come out of this awful, heavy, a great relationship, but really awful breakup. And suddenly this thing came in the sky. Now, everyone's like, oh, you were hallucinating because of these magic mushrooms, whatever. But I might have been, but this thing came out, and it was like written in Sanskrit, which is the old Indian language. And this Sanskrit came about, and I didn't know it was Sanskrit, but I had my pen and paper, and I wrote it down. And, you know, I went back to the resort, and I asked my friend who was part of the resort, she said, I don't know what that is, but it's Sanskrit, and because I've studied yoga. And I went, okay, fine. She said, ask Robin. He will know what it means because he's Indian. So I went to Robin, And I said, Robin, what's this? And he went, and he just looked at me as if to say, what have you been doing? Where have you been? You know? And I said, this came to me. And he said, well, I know what you do. And where did you get this? And I said, Robin, will you just tell me what it means? He said, all it says is surrender to the divine, surrender to spirit. And I was blown away because
wow.
I was in this space. And I, like I said, I've never done drugs, never don't condone them or anything like that. But it was this amazing epiphany for me to turn everything around. And I came back from that trip being a completely different person and just fully surrendering into my gift. And it was incredible, absolutely incredible.
Wow, that's very, very significant and very important when you get a message that you can't understand
mm-hmm.
and you have to have someone else tell it to you so that there's no doubt in your mind
that's
what
right.
was heard or said. And spirit shows up and spirit will whisper to you and spirit will talk in a loud voice and spirit will send a sign.
Mm-hmm.
Please understand, a sign can be a car accident, a letter is in the sky, a white squirrel, and then spirit yells. And usually what happens is when spirit yells, your world falls apart so you can embrace the new.
And, that's right.
And so people, please listen when you get that inner voice, because I don't want you going through lots and lots of drama and trauma just because you didn't listen.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was to get a reading from you, how would I go about doing it?
People need to just go to my website, excuse me, and I have a whole booking system on there. In fact, I've just released some new dates that people can actually just go to lisawilliams.com. In fact, I don't even know where it is on my website, but I know it's on there somewhere.
Well, that sounds good, and sounds like you're very well organized. And I guess you do as much psychic work as you do medium work, correct?
Well, actually, it's interesting because now I've started, I probably do equal amounts now because I wanted, because obviously the TV show, I was known as a medium. I wanted people to know that there are other different sides to me with my healing and also my psychic work. So I started to teach through my school that I set up, the psychic side. And so now I do start, I am doing psychic readings as well. So, you know, if people want psychic readings, they can go and get a psychic reading or mediumistic reading, whichever they prefer. But yeah, I do. And actually, I quite like the secret, the psychic side, because I think I'm a bit nosy and I like to know about people's lives. So, yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes people say, Star, I'm afraid to, people say, I don't want to meet you. And I go, why? Well, because you'll see all my secrets. And I tell them, when I meet people, I'm not looking for your secrets. That's
mm-hmm.
what I do. That's my job all day long. And I'm not going to look at you and say, oh, my God, what is this person's secret? You know,
yes.
I see the aura. I see the light. But if you come to me, I can look at you in a way that what you don't see about yourself and
mm-hmm.
give you that map so you can experience that part of your journey, too. And sometimes a psychic isn't about new things. It's about confirming the inner voices in you and being sure that your path is correct, because many people have many different paths, and they'll change. Things will change. You know, you change your job, you change your mate, you change where you're living. You can change your destiny in future, but sometimes you just have to go through it.
Yeah, that's right.
Go through it. So you did all this wonderful stuff on TV, and many people know you from being on TV, and you have your videos there, and you're so live and vibrant. How do you stay so vibrant?
Oh, my gosh. I just see the best in everything, and I see the best in everybody. And I think that's important. I try to remain very, very positive. Excuse me. It's not always easy because, of course, there's people and things and situations that let you down. But I have a very good support network of friends who I turn to if I need them. But most of the time, I think it's about seeing the positivity in there. And, you know, my lifestyle, I don't like drama. In fact, I hate drama. And I very much try to stay out of it. I eat well. I sleep well finally now. And I embrace my child. I've got a 14-year-old boy who I completely embrace, and he's my sanity. That's how I call it. He's my sanity. So that, I think it's your attitude. It's the positivity that you have.
And I notice that you're very conscious. You're very conscious of your environment. You're conscious of what you eat. You're conscious to stay out of other people's dramas.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and being a psychic, and talking to dead people, and, you know, it's almost every session has some type of drama that comes with it. So, you know, you get done working with drama, you don't want to go home to any drama.
No.
You know?
You don't.
I think it's like, yeah, stay away from drama because it's there for us. And did you like being on TV? Did you like that energy, and did you like having those shows? And when are you going back to TV?
Well, you know, it was interesting. I'd never done TV before. I'd done one thing, and that was a very, very quick interview with somebody, but nothing major. I came over here, was thrown into the whole TV, and I did like it. You know, we became a bit of a family within the whole group, working with. So that was really good. And I did enjoy it. I did enjoy it, I have to say, very much so. But, and actually I'm working on a new TV project at the moment. I was filming a pilot over the last couple of days. We'll see where that goes. Who knows? And I always say, you know, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. But there's a couple of things that are in the pipeline with TV. So I'm just waiting to see what does happen. But I did enjoy it. You know, it was fun, and yeah, it's something I would certainly do again.
Good. You have a lot of presence, and you look really, really good. And
Thank you. Your
aura and light holds together really well on stage. So when are you going to have, are you going to have another baby, and is it a business?
My business, yeah, is probably my baby, because there's no babies coming that way. I'm actually, many people know that I've actually set up LWISSD, which is the school, International School of Spiritual Development. And I've set a school up in LA where I live. And now my next project is to set up one in both Australia and also the East Coast somewhere. So that's my next project. That's probably my next baby that is coming about.
That sounds wonderful. I have a beautiful geodesic dome that seats 300 people, and maybe we can see if we can get one of your schools down here at one point in time. I looked over, you know, your curriculum. It looks really juicy and good and practical. But we'll talk about that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and I have 440 different classes I've taught. So right now it seems to be I'm in the phase of that spirit releasement. That's what I'm getting a lot of calls for.
Right, interesting. And is that something that you enjoy?
Well, I enjoy healing cancer, and that's always been my strong point. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, God gives you what you need to do, and that's what's been coming up a lot. So everybody take a deep breath. We're coming toward the commercial break right now. And take a deep breath and integrate. and another. Definitely feel Lisa's presence in mine. Good. And I'm waiting on that half-hour break there. You can call us at 646-716-9663.
You're listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. Once again, Star Fuentes.
Well, I'm here with Lisa Williams, and our phone number is 646-716-9663. And Mark, do you have any callers for us?
Yes, I do. I'm just going to bring them in one after the other, okay? So bringing on Melissa first.
Hi, Melissa.
Hey.
What's your question?
Hey.
What's your question, sweetie?
I don't have a question. I just wanted to call in and say hello and give you and Lisa love. A week ago today, I had a fantastic time with her in Los Angeles and one of the most amazing healing experiences I've ever had. So I just had to call in and send you guys love, and it's been a great show.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Melissa.
You're welcome.
Okay, Mark, that was very nice to get those acknowledgments, Lisa.
It was lovely.
Gail from Australia.
Hi, Gail.
Hello.
What's your question, sweetie?
Oh, hi. Well, I've got a business type question and a spirit type question. I'll ask the spirit question first. I offer intuitive healing and coaching, and recently I was at a stall locally, and I had a new client, who said that she was feeling spirit's energies within her body, but they were giving her really, really uncomfortable feelings, even sexual feelings. So we wondered if she maybe had a past life as a prostitute because, you know, the strong sexual feelings that were happening within her. Is that something that can happen with spirits entering your body linked to past lives?
Lisa, you want to handle that? This is interesting. I just need to backtrack a little bit. So she felt as though she was having sexual experiences with a particular spirit, or was this in a memory situation?
No, it was actually, and thanks, Lisa, I'm one of your witchy wooers from Australia. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, it was lovely working with you when you were here.
Thank you.
This lady, said she feels the spirits or their energy enter her body,
right,
and actually felt sexual feelings in the lower part of her body that were very uncomfortable.
Okay, I can absolutely explain this because this has happened to me. And between Star and I, I'm sure there's nothing that hasn't happened to one of us in this situation. This has actually happened to me. I'm actually a trance medium. And what that means is I go into trance and I can allow spirit to enter my body. And so I'm very used to doing that. However, when I was much younger, and much more innocent and, I suppose, naive in this work, I actually did have a spirit that tried to penetrate me sexually in that respect. So I totally understand, and it's like a violation. And it sounds to me like her protection isn't strong. It sounds to me as though I would have to do really an assessment with her to see how her mindset is. But it would be about, normally, if you're going through real issues like this, or if you're really going through a lot of negative stuff or a lot of problems in your life, then we can attract negativity, which is personally what happened to me. With her, it could be, like I said, I can't diagnose, I can't say anything until I actually speak with her. It could be she may be having issues, or she may have that, she may have issues in the past sexually. She may have had, she may have just attracted the spirit. It could be the fact that the spirit was associated with her and still quite earthbound and needed to be released. So there could be a lot of reasons why. So for me, I would actually do a very strong protection. And a lot of people talk about the fluffy white light and all of this, you know, lovely stuff, but quite frankly, that's not going to work in this situation. What she would need to do, and this is actually how I actually teach my students, and I, you know, the fluffy white light is great, but I always talk about the perspex, and we call it perspex, but it's like this one-way glass filter. And imagine a piece of glass probably 2 inches thick all the way around you, and you're in this glass cube. And it's about really penetrating the energy out into the environment, but that will stop any negative energies coming back in. And there's a test that you can do to actually make sure it's up. But that's what I would do. I would really make sure that she enhanced her protection a great deal, and certainly when she sleeps as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's a bit like
honey,
a disco.
Honey, please remember drugs, alcohol, anything that tears a hole in your aura, somebody dying, or you giving your power away to somebody, that hole in your aura will allow spirits to come in. So please make sure that whatever she's dealing with, that she has dealt with it. And you
thank
may
you
actually,
very much.
Okay?
Yes, thank you so much. Yes, that's very helpful.
Good.
And now you had a personal question.
Well, if there's time, I don't want to dominate.
Go ahead, beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. Because I'm just starting up my business, I'm in a bit of a quandary as to whether my attraction that I have to living near the ocean, whether I should take the step now, whether Spirit has any message for me to uproot and move now while I'm just starting my business. I'm feeling like I need to stay in the city where I am to have the networks around me to support me in beginning my business. But I just wondered if Spirit has any guidance that way. I haven't been able to get any clear indication myself, because I will live near that one day.
Okay. Well, often you can't get, sorry, Star, if you don't mind me jumping
no,
in.
No, that's why you're here.
often you can't get guidance for yourself, because even myself, I go, oh, help, and I can't get anything. And then I just have to allow myself to surrender, and eventually it will come. What I would say to you here, and I'm gonna go, as I call it, witchy womb, but I do want to ask a question. How long have you been working in this field now?
I just retired at the end of March last year from my education career, and I'm just seriously beginning my business, I guess, this year now. So I don't have a large body of clients yet, so it's very early days.
So, you know, here's the thing. I mean, you're at a space where you could move no matter what, you know, because but you have to choose your area carefully. But however, I'm just going to tell you here, because this is what I'm picking up. I have a gentleman that is stepping forward, and I'm not sure whether he would be your father, because he does feel like a father nature. If he's not, he's probably a grandfather. And he was showing me about you staying put. You staying put, needing to have the support network around you. And actually, while you may want to move to the ocean, it feels temporary, almost as though you may even get maybe a possible holiday vacation home, and that will be your escape. Because quite honestly, I feel as though where you're at is what's going to really generate you. And I, quite frankly, I feel as though you're a bit of a city girl at heart. And actually, as much as you love the ocean, I do feel as though you might get a little bit bored. I don't know why I feel that. I just feel as though you need to have the hustle and bustle.
Interesting. Thank you. Yes, I do
feel
that.
Okay. And I am seeing a little lady, and she's playing with her fingers or something, And she's saying to me, decide X number of years and how many years you want to create this, or at what financial level you're going to be, write it down on a piece of paper and work to it. I also agree with Lisa, if you lived on the beach now, it wouldn't be such a grand experience being there all the time. So, you know, get set, you know, timeshare, condo you can rent from somebody, you know, for a month, a year or two. You and I can tell you this because I've walked out of my client circle and went to study in Africa, and I've walked out of my client circle and went to study in India, and it took me a long time to get back every time I got back. So stay where you are now, sweetie, from both of us,
from two
different angles. Thank you very much.
Love to you both. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Cinnamon.
Hi.
Hi, Cinnamon. I love you. What's your question?
I love you, too. Lisa, I've loved you for a long time. I love your style. You don't take yourself too seriously. I think you're a blast to watch and listen to.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
I've been spiritually blocked for a while. Stas, my teacher, and something's been going on where I just can't get connected anymore. I was, a seer, and I can't get back in the groove. I just can't get back with it.
Okay. Here's what happens is we go through phases, and in our life we naturally go through ups and downs. And I will tell you honestly, for years and years and years, I wanted to be a healer, and the healing just wasn't working. And then suddenly I followed the road that I should go down, and then my healing became absolutely incredibly powerful. But I had to go in a different direction. The reason why I say this, I feel as though this is what's happening with you. I feel as though you've gotten a block, an emotional block, actually, and you've gotten into your head too much, if I can be very firm. You've got into your head. You're probably thinking about things too much, like, why can't I see it, and squeezing your eyes together, screwing up your face, and going, oh, inside, but naturally on the outside, you're like, but you've got that thing, and it's frustrating.
Very.
And so what I'd like you to do is go back to basics. I want you to wipe the slate clean, almost as if you never had that gift.
Okay.
Because what happens is when you go back and wipe the slate clean, you are then able to reassess your areas of strength, because even though you're a seer, you may have another gift that's developing. And I actually feel, and this is from my side, I feel as though you're very empathic, you're very intuitive, and you're very clairsentient. Okay, so you
I'm
pick
all
up
those things.
Things.
Absolutely, yeah.
You pick up things in a very clairsentient way. Okay,
it's true.
Now, it is true. Now, what's interesting is you will find that seers, someone who is very clairvoyant, will naturally be very clairsentient. All right, and those who are clairaudient, using their hearing, are naturally claircognizant, so they work use their knowing, because they work on the analytical side of the brain.
Okay.
There's a lot of science that goes into it, which I've studied. And so clairvoyance is going to naturally go hand in hand with clairsentience. Maybe at some point you couldn't handle the visions. Maybe at some point it was too much for you. And I'm going to be very honest with you. If I had to lose one of my senses, it would be my sight. And the reason being is when I deliver a message, I can only see so much. I can see what they look like. I can see what they would do. But I can feel their energy. I can feel their emotion. I can feel what they felt. They can place me in situations and I can feel it. And you may start developing your clairaudience, because I feel as though clairaudient is coming for you. So do you ever hear things?
I always call it like a confessional door where I can hear it open, and then I hear all this information, but the visual doesn't always match the audio,
and
I get very confused.
Never try to match the two, okay? Because it won't work. And quite honestly, always listen, because you can get more information from listening than you can from seeing. So you can say to spirit, so what do you mean that happened? You know, okay, so you had cancer, where was it? They can talk to you. They can give you the impressions. They can make you feel things. And so listen to that. And then when you get a vision, write it down. And you'll start to realize that maybe your visions and your words, the hearing, are very different, but you're seeing a vision that relates to something completely different, and then you can give it to them at a later date. You see, what happens, sorry I'm taking so long, but I think it's really important to explain this, is when we're delivering a message,
mm-hmm.
we are also hearing, seeing, feeling, and knowing so many other things at once. And we're trying to deliver one thing, and then we're getting all of this information downloaded to us, and that's when I go, okay, thank you. And so, therefore, we're still delivering that first message, and then it switches. So then we deliver the next message that we've just downloaded. While we're delivering that, we then download another lot. So it's important to realize that even though you're getting all of this stuff download,
mm-hmm.
that it may not all match. It may not all work. The thing
and
is,
don't judge it.
And never judge it. And your clients sit there, okay, and I'm sure Star will agree with me, your clients sit there and they want it all in a little Tiffany box. And I talk about the Tiffany box all the time. They want it to look like this nice little package. I have your dad here. He's coming through. He had cancer. He had lung cancer. You helped him through it, and he wants to say thank you. That's how they want it. Well, it's never going to come like that.
Right.
It's going to come with the neighbor's dog first. Then he's going to come with your aunt. And then finally your dad might come through. Then he might not sit and talk to you. You know, you've got all of these things. It doesn't come prepackaged. We have to build the box. And then we can deliver it. And so you being hard on yourself is not helping for one. You also being in your head is not helping. Strike two. So live in your heart. Feel it. And if your information comes in a clairsentient way, if it comes through verbal, through clairaudience, work with that. And you'll find that the seeing will slowly come back. And the seeing might have only just been to actually open you up and put you on this pathway.
Is there any suggestion to at least, because when I'm meditating, I automatically go to the visual.
Mm-hmm.
Should I change my meditation up to try an audio meditation?
You could. I tell you what you might find easier, though, is you may actually work with texture. You may, and I have a meditation ball that I work with. It's kind of an egg. It's a wooden egg, and actually my son made it for me. It's very smooth. And what happens is I would actually try this. I would actually try and put a silk scarf in your hands, or some mala beads or something like that. And I would actually run, let's say the silk scarf, I would run the silk scarf through it, throughout your hands in a very meditative fashion, you know, very, very rhythmical fashion.
I have a passion for velvet, so I might think of using that.
Use velvet then, as long as it's something soft that you enjoy.
Okay.
And allow it to run and allow your mind just to wander.
And feel the more it, experience it.
And mm-hmm. experience it and feel it, because that's also going to help your clairsentient grow. So
right.
when you can feel and you allow that sense to really heighten and develop, it's amazing what wealth of information you can gain from your clairsentience. And as my students, you know, my advanced students certainly, and also my beginners, I actually isolate each sense and I make them work on one sense per week. And so every week it's like, it's either clairvoyance, or it's clairaudience, or it's clairsentience, or claircognizance. And so I make them work at it. Because the more you can heighten that sense, the better.
Okay.
Excellent.
Does that help?
Cinnamon?
Yes.
Your assignment for me is to listen to the recording of what she said to you 3 times.
Okay. Definitely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
She's very, very captured you very well. And you need to hear this, okay?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you,
Good luck, Simon.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Thank you. Thank you, Star. I love you.
Thank you. Goodbye. Thank you.
Mark.
Okay, Trish, you're on.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Lisa, I'm thrilled you're doing psychic work because I actually have a psychic question.
Yay!
Great. It's around my career. You know, you were talking about working somewhere with integrity, and I'm not currently at a place that I feel, you know, meets my kind of integrity, and I'm looking to make a change, and I'm hoping there's something coming up.
Okay. May I ask what industry you're in? Because I kept seeing that you should be in some form of healing, nursing, or something along those lines.
Yeah, no, I'm in high tech. I'm in internet security.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. That is just, for me, energetically with you, it feels wrong. Okay? So I'm not sure if that's what it feels like for you. But it just feels that everything that you stand for, everything that you believe in, is just kind of twisted, and it just doesn't quite work. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Well, for me, you have an amazing way with people. I feel as though you have a great way. Oh, that's interesting. Why have you shown me that? Huh. Okay. Well, you have a great way of people, and I feel as though you work very well, and you're great as a manager, managing people, managing their problems, managing situations. For some reason, like I said to you, I was like, what are you showing me? I kept being shown a bank, like you were going to be working for a bank or something along, or even the medical industry. You may not move from that sort of work that you do, the line of work that you do, but you may do it for something along the lines of either a bank or a hospital. Because I feel as though your work is going to involve other people, and there's a lot of communication with other people. So, and I don't feel as though you're in that line at the moment, are you? You don't do that.
No. Well, I mean, I run a support center, so I do talk to customers all the time in that type of, you know, in terms of helping them. But I've always wanted to work in healthcare, and the feedback I received is, you know, you have to have healthcare background. It's like a double-edged sword.
It is a double-edged sword, but there's something about it where I just feel as though you can get, whether it's the fact that you train as a healer and you do some healing, but I kept being shown the bank. It was really weird, the bank, and I'm like, why am I seeing the bank? But I was being shown the bank, okay, and I've said these things before, and it could be the name of something. But then I was really being drawn to the healthcare and medical profession and healing profession. It's almost as though there is another, I feel as though you're coming out of the industry that you're in. It's like you're going into that side of things. Do you have problems with your knees by any chance?
I do. I have a problem with my left knee.
Yeah, it's aching. You can have your pain back, please, because it's driving me mad since I've been on the phone with you. it's like, really? Okay. Can you get your knee sorted, by the way? And what's interesting is I do feel maybe this is where you're going to go into the healing, because you might actually go to an alternative therapist. I hate using the word alternative therapist because modern-day medicine is really the alternative. But it's like I feel as though you're going to go to someone who's on the alternative therapist, acupuncture, healing, Reiki, whatever it may be. And what it feels to me is as though this may start you off on your journey. Because I feel as though it's to do with your knee or some medical situation that's going to start you off on your journey. And I tell you what, you're going to be brilliant at it. You're going to be really, really good.
Wow, that's
I agree that change will come around the October 10th to 15th time for you. You're going to work up to it. And I see a bank of people just a little different, almost as if you were support for a matchmaking service or a counselor for a matchmaking. But I'm not sure if it's cash in the people or people to people.
Mm.
So reach out with the healer that you are from, you know, supporting people, and find another place with more integrity, okay?
I will, and I will call you back and let you know. I appreciate your advice.
Good.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mark, are you there?
Yes. We got 5 minutes. You want another caller, or you want to close up?
No, I want you to ask Lisa a question.
Oh, perfect. Lisa, you had mentioned earlier that one of the biggest things that was a transformation for you was that you were able to surrender. Can you can you explain what surrender looks like?
Yeah, you know, a lot of us don't surrender, and what happens is we remain in control, and we control situations. We become control freaks. And it's actually allowing our life to pan out and not controlling anything. So when we can fully let go of a situation and say, you know, what it is, and allow it to take us on its own pathway, whatever that may be, that is what I feel surrender is. It's allowing ourselves to be out of control, to be vulnerable, and to accept that we have a journey and that sometimes we cannot control where that journey is taking us. That's full surrender. Mm-hmm.
And remember last week we talked, or 2 weeks ago, I talked about being in the ashram in India and surrendering. So the surrender is coming up a lot for you. Pay attention. We can't give you a map to surrender. Everybody surrenders differently. But I know that you know that that's the place that you need to go. Lisa, where can I find you? What is your website?
You can go to, well, there's two. You can go to lisawilliams.com or you can go to lwissd.com. And you can find me on Facebook. You just pop in Lisa Williams and I'll pop up.
That's great. And we can get readings from you, buy books, go to your school. You have events and workshops. Listen, people, Lisa's very powerful. She's very, very well connected to Source, but also her heart, her head, and her soul are very well connected. I highly recommend her. I believe that as spiritual people, we need to conform. We need to go outside of ourselves to see, feel, know that we're on the appropriate track. We're where we want to be. Our own thoughts about ourselves become distorted because we speak them over and over and over in our mind. Everyone needs someone to talk to. So please take advantage of all the wonderful healers and psychics and mediums that are out there to enhance and enrich your life. You can come and see me on stage. And you can be my sponsor on Patreon. I have the Universal Life Expo coming up and the Light Language Conference. And you see dozens and things on my site. And you can actually see videos of Lisa on stage on her website. Pay attention. You long for spirituality, yet you have to participate in your own spiritual life by getting information from other people. So take a deep breath. Lisa, what message do you have for our listeners?
My message really is to remain authentic, to have integrity, to think before we speak, and choose our words very carefully, and to treat others in the way that you would want to be treated yourself.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot, and it's important to move from self to recognizing what other people need. And if you only recognize what other people need, you need to move to yourself. I will definitely be looking at Lisa Williams' website. I am currently looking at the curriculum for her school. It looks wonderful. It looks like it covers almost everything. And what a great teacher to have. What a great person to participate. And join me and give a little prayer so that Lisa's pilot or Lisa's new baby, business, whatever it is, be born. And also, give me a couple of prayers so I can just keep going and keep helping people, healing people, seeing on the other side and being close to you all. Thank you.
On behalf of Spiritual Connections Radio, thank you for listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Please join us again next week for another enlivening episode. For more information on Star's classes or services, visit her website at www.starfuentes.com or call the office at 501-609-0660. That's 501-609-0660.